Hello, good evening, everyone. You're listening to Indian Time on KUCR 88.3 FM. Sesna chene havate nenen kaje el seda tatla el seda tatla sesna chene diye kozil sawa diye kozil sawa diye kozil sawa diye kozil sawa sesna chene so does in Salah, so does in Salah. Hold your sense of love, hold your sense of love. Says not Jenny, your head, 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 your Says na jene ha ha te nenen ka je el se da te tla el se da te tla Says na jene diye ko zil sawa diye ko zil sawa diye ko zil sawa diye ko zil sawa Says na jene so te zin sala so te zin sala ho jo sen sala ho jo sen sala Says the Jenny, Says na jene, diye ko zil sawa, diye ko zil sawa, diye ko zil sawa, diye ko zil sawa. Says na jene, so de zin sala, ho jo sin sala, ho jo sin sala. Says na jene, ya na Says na jene, ya na Says na jene, so des in sala, ho jo sin sala, ho jo sin sala. Says na jene, ya na hino. Says na jene, ya na hino. Says na jene, ya na hino. Says na jene, ya na hino.
Good evening. You're listening to Indian Time here on 88.3 KUCR FM. This is Robert.
And this is Josh.
And we are joined by a few guests tonight. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago, we read a few excerpts from some of the stories of Native veterans that are interred over at the National Cemetery here in Riverside. And that's all part of a project called Along the Chaparral that was pretty much spearheaded and led and brought into existence by Allison Hedgecoke over in the Creative Writing Department. And so today we're going to do a little bit more because it's been another year. And what's been going on, and maybe Josh, you can speak to this a little bit, is over the last year or so, local students and from all different levels of education have been going out and getting these testimonies, writing these things up. And there's even been a book produced. And so why don't you talk a little bit more about that? And that's what we're going to have people reading today.
Well, I had the honor and privilege of working with students from Sherman Indian High School. We went to some of the archives, looked up some of the veterans that are at Sherman. Some of them aren't necessarily buried in Riverside National Cemetery, and some are. So we're trying to incorporate as many schools possible in the Riverside area. I stopped in at Sherman every week or every other week back in the spring quarter and worked each week with the students, gave them different assignments to tell a story of these veterans and honor their voices and what they did for their communities back home, right? A lot of Native veterans out there in the world. You know, we understand the complicated relationship with the United States Army and what they've done to Native people in the past, but many Native veterans that go out into the Army, and that was a way to protect their homelands in a different way.
Yeah, so, you know, we're probably just going to jump right into this and then maybe talk a little bit more about it in the end, but we're joined by Biaja, Wyatt, and Travis today, in addition to Josh and myself. And you are going to be listening here, first of all, you're listening to Indian Time, but you can listen to stories of Native veterans from the Along the Chaparral Project. So stay tuned, and we're going to jump right into that right now.
Paul Stone. Paul Stone was born on April 6, 1922. Paul was Paiute. Born in Bishop, California. As a young person, he attended Sherman Institute, a federal off-reservation boarding school in Riverside, California. Boarding schools represent a difficult and sensitive subject for Native peoples. Paul attended Sherman from 1936 to 1937. While at Sherman, he joined the Protestant Club and was involved in many local church activities in and around the city of Riverside. After leaving Sherman, Paul went on to serve as a technical sergeant in the U.S. Air Force and as a petty officer in the U.S. Coast Guard. He served in World War II and the Korean War. His service is commemorated in a veterans memorial located on the grounds of Sherman Indian High School. Every year, Paul Stone and the other Native veterans are honored by current students during school events. Throughout the year, people in and around the community honor him through traditional ceremonies.
Cherry Starhine by Mariah Alex. Cherry Catherine Cherry Starhine was born June 30th, 1911. She was born in Braggs, Muskogee County, Oklahoma. Cherry was 98 when she passed away in March 29, 2010. She spent her last days in Hesperia, San Bernardino County, California. She currently is resting in Riverside National Cemetery in Riverside County, California. She is in plot 7573. Cherry is the daughter of Charles C. Starr and Georgia A. Starr. Her grandparents were Henry Clay Starr and Jenny Lind Starr, Patrick Conrad and Thomas Richard Madden, and Rachel Parson Madden Keyes Lovett. She is the great-granddaughter of Fields Starr and Mary Polly Reese Starr, Gurin, John Walker Jack Starr, and Rachel Starr. Thomas Madden, Margaret Raven Madden, Peter Parson, Mary Elizabeth Sanders Parson Boyles. She has five siblings who are Pocahontas Starr, Ross, Opal Colina Starr, Jack Raymond Starr, Inez Corina Starr Smith, and Charles Thomas. Cherry had a loving husband and spouse. His name is Henry G. Hine Sr. They got married on September 24, 1930. They had two children together, Henry G. Hine and Georgia Helen Hine Campbell Conway. What Cherry did in her life helped veterans for the country. Cherry dedicated her time in the armed forces as a private in World War II. Following the end of World War II, Cherry continued to support veterans through her work at the Veterans Affairs Hospital in Sawtelle, Los Angeles, California. Her dedication to helping the United States during and after wartime is an honor. She will be remembered for her service to the United States.
Edward Norte was born in 1919 near Bishop, California. Norte was a United States Army veteran who attended Sherman Indian Boarding School in Riverside, California. Sherman Institute, founded in 1901, was an off-reservation federal boarding school. Norte attended the Sherman Institute from 1935 to 1938. While at Sherman, Norte found sports to be very important and actively participated in football, basketball, and baseball. He was also a member of the Letterman's Club. Later, while in the Army, Norte served as a technician fifth grade during World War II. The duties he did as a veteran helped support the United States and his community back home. As a Native veteran, it is important to remember his sacrifice. He and other Native veterans are honored every year by students in a cultural class at Sherman Indian High School.
Helen Elizabeth Kamahele and Kenneth Kalianele Kamahele, as written by Nicholas Huss. Helen Elizabeth Kamahele was born on July 10, 1912, in Honolulu, Oahu, Hawaii. When she was born in Hawaii, it was currently not a state of the USA, but the family still felt compelled to serve massively in the military. Her husband served in the Second World War as an aircraft electrician who would go on to be buried alongside her at the Riverside National Cemetery in Riverside, California. The family of Kamaheles would go on to be recognized as one of the first Hawaiian families to be buried at this location, giving them even more recognition for the great things that they contributed to our country. She married Kenneth Kalaniele Kamahele, who served in the U.S. Army as a sergeant. Kamahele was born on January 31, 1923, in Honolulu, Hawaii, and passed away on his birthday, January 20, 2014. Hawaiian culture is very thoughtful of the names that they give to their kin. Kenneth's middle name, Kalaniele, stands for Handsome One, the Heavens, or Majesty. Kamahele means Strong Branch. The meaning behind these names shows character and helps picture the values of the family as a whole. Kenneth was not the only Kamahele to fight, as his brothers fought along his side. Some would join the army just as he did, but others ventured into different military branches. Kamahele fought for our country in World War II and was ranked at the time as a sergeant in the U.S. Army. Some of his brothers fought with him in this war, but others spent time in various different wars and places in the world than he did. Strangely enough, when the Kamaheles were born, Hawaii was not a part of the U.S., but was a territory. But the family was still committed to serving the country that overthrew their home state. Whether they did this to get out of the place being taken over or simply wanted to serve the country is unknown, but the fact of the matter is that they did a great service for our country. There is nothing more that the U.S. as a country could ask for, being as they claimed the home of the Hawaiians and the particular family still chose to do them a service of fighting. They were not only being taken over, but helping the country and the lives of the people who lived in it.
Ross C. Townsend Jr. Ross C. Townsend Jr., nicknamed Ronnie, was born in Arlington, California on June 23, 1931. Ross's parents were Laura Primo and Ross Townsend Sr. His mother was Shoni from Duck Valley, Nevada, and his father was Paiute from the Fort Bidwell Reservation in Fort Bidwell, California. He had one sister and four brothers. Growing up, Ronnie and his family lived at the Sherman Institute in Riverside, California, an off-reservation boarding school. His parents graduated from Sherman in the 1930s and came back to work at the school. Due to federal policies, Ronnie was not allowed to attend Sherman because his parents were employees. However, Ronnie and his siblings still grew up around other Native children who were placed at Sherman. He was a boatswain mate in the U.S. Navy. He served in the Korean War. After he served in the military, he lived locally and worked as the athletic director at Sherman. When Ronnie passed away, the tribe was unable to pay for his burial on the reservation, so his parents chose to inter their son at Riverside National Cemetery. Ronnie is survived by two sons.
Richard H. Campbell by Daisy Ocampo. Chief Richard Harry Campbell Sr. was born in Riverside, California on July 12, 1946 to Walter Campbell and Margaret Beeson Campbell of the Pomo and Hopi Nations. Growing up, both his parents worked at Sherman Indian High School. Sherman Indian High School is an off-reservation boarding school for Native American children. Coyote Valley Indians attended an Indian school in Pinoville as well as Sherman Institute in Riverside, California, and Chemawa Indian Training School. Culture, language, and community are woven into the educational experience at these educational institutions. Richard attended Ganado Mission High School in Arizona, where he graduated and later enlisted into the United States Navy as radioman on USS Annapolis near Guam during the Vietnam War. Richard later resided on Coyote Valley Indian Reservation in Redwood Valley, California, where he served as the tribe's EPA director and elected chief. Chief Richard Harry Campbell Sr. passed away on February 3, 2013, with his loved ones by his side in Ukiah, California. His body was put to rest at the Riverside National Cemetery.
Kenny F. Stanton Jr. by Cheeto. Captain Kenny F. Stanton Jr. first tried to enlist in the military after he graduated from Hemet High School, but got rejected because his childhood asthma and seizures. However, Kenny didn't let that determine whether or not he could achieve his dreams of serving in the military. He reapplied without citing the childhood afflictions that hadn't reoccurred for years, and soon he was off to Army boot camp in Missouri. Kenny spent a year with the 57th Military Police Company in Wagon, South Korea, before his unit shipped off to Iraq in July. Kenny forged deep bonds with three other young soldiers in his unit, and they had called themselves the Four Brothers. While he was patrolling Baghdad, Iraq on October 13th, Kenny was killed by a roadside bomb that was placed in a hiding spot. Two other people were injured, but Kenny passed away the day before my mom's birthday. You see, Kenny and my mom were best friends in high school, even though they were separated by life experience and physical distance. My mom still checked in with Kenny's parents from time to time to see how he was doing and where he was stationed overseas. It was during one of these calls that my mom found out she had lost her high school friend. My sister Iris was one when he passed. Kenny loved writing poems, and he would always recite them to my mom. He wanted us to use his military education to get his master's degree so he could go back and be an English teacher. Growing up, my mom was told that Kenny was funny, nice, and could always be found outside playing football or wrestling. It's hard to imagine a sensitive guy like Kenny striding back and forth with guns protecting his camp. My mom said that Kenny always liked meeting new people and getting out to see new things. Sometimes I wish I was born in an earlier year so I could meet Kenny myself. I think we would have gotten along. I imagine him and I playing football together and having a lot of fun. I want people to remember Kenny not only by his personality, but how he succeeded in accomplishing his childhood dream of serving our country.
Good evening. You're back here on Indian Time and KUCR 8.3, and we just read some stories from Native veterans, which is part of the Along the Chaparral project that we students and professors have done here at the UC Riverside campus, working with different high schools throughout the Riverside area.
Yeah, and this has been going on for over a year, funded by the Department of Veterans Affairs, and it's been a huge project overseen by our own Allison Hedgecoke and the work of many, many others, including everybody who came here today. So yeah, that's what you heard. Those were stories that students did about these Native veterans. And I think we're going to play some music now, and that'll do it for us this week. What should we play, Josh?
Ooh, you got some like round dance songs, and maybe talk about soldiers or any type of something that honors veterans.
Yeah, how about a veterans honoring song, and then we'll throw in a few more like-minded pieces if we have the time. So I think that's going to do it for us this week here on Indian Time, and thanks to all of our guests who came in and read those. Beautiful stories about the Native veterans. And I got to say before we go, that last one, I really was moved by that one. We were talking about that here in the booth. So
it's real powerful, yeah.
If you like that kind of thing, or you know, you're more interested in this, this is all coming out in book form in a book called Along the Chaparral. We have it right here with us. It looks really nice. There's a mural that was commissioned as part of this whole project over at Sherman Indian High School that's on the front cover. And it's real nice. That'll be available on Amazon.com and other sources. But as of the time we're recording this, it's not out yet, but it's coming very soon. So that's the Along the Chaparral project.
So we'll keep you updated on that and keep on checking Amazon to see when it will be available for purchase.
Yeah, and it's the Along the Chaparral book, and that's H-A-P-A-R-R-A-L, along the chaparral. So that's going to do it for us on Indian Time. Till next week.
Peace to the nations.
This recording is a result of the Along the Chaparral Project of the Veterans Legacy Program of the Veterans Administration, National Cemetery Administration, with UCR for the Riverside National Cemetery.
And now for the victory song, we go to Eagle Whistle. Victory song. Honors for the flag song and the victory song. So whenever you're ready, Yellow Hammer.